Yeah? So in the third reading of the conjoined Parshias, of Parshias Matas and Masei, which ends up being chapter 32, Perek Lev of the fourth book of the Torah. It's the month of Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu's last few months are now approaching, his final Rosh Hashanah. And then, of course, on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, he'll begin his final address. And suddenly, an unexpected thing happens. After all, the Jewish people are on the way to the land of Israel. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. That's been the goal ever since when? That's the stated goal, right? All of a sudden, the Torah says, O mikne rav hoyo livnei Reuven. The children of Reuven had an enormous amount of livestock. Ulivnei God, and to the children of God. Otsu me'od, very, very large numbers. Vayiru es eretz Yazer, they saw the land of Yazer, the land of Gilad, eretz Gilad, v'hine mekoyim mikne. They took notice of the fact that it was a place of pasture. Okay, what's going on over here? Why are we suddenly talking about the large amounts of livestock, of cattle, of sheep and goats that belong to Bnei God, Bnei Reuven and Bnei God? The Abarbanel says, perhaps other Shvatim also had large numbers of livestock. However, they said, the Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, they gravitated towards being shepherds. And the Abarbanel makes a suggestion. He says, maybe this is because Reuven was the eldest of the tribes, initially destined for monarchy. This was taken from him. And so Reuven lived with a sense of shame. And he figured, why do I have to be on the mainland, on the east side, on the west side of the Jordan River, and then it's obvious that I'm not the leader, that I'm not producing the monarchs of the Jewish people. Instead, I'll stay on the east side. It'll be a little less shameful. That's Abarbanel's approach. Another approach, the Shachar LaTorah says, we find in Reuven's youth that he found jasmine flowers, dudaim. And this indicates that from a very early age, he was prone to be with the fields, with the livestock. So then what does that have to do with Bnei God? And truth is, Abarbanel's reason doesn't explain God either. So he says, Bnei God were always at the side of Reuven. And because it was Reuven, God, and Shimon, so God did went along with Reuven. Reuven was the elder, and God was the younger. He went along with him. So the Shachar LaTorah says, okay, in that case, what about Shevet Shimon? He says, well, Shevet Shimon had their own issues. Because remember, they are the ones who had sinned. That's last week's Parsha. With Zimri, and the people were taking Midianite woman. And because of this, they wanted to be away from Shimon. So that was one of the reasons God went with Reuven, because God didn't want to be with Shimon. God figured that if they camped next to Shimon, they'll have to live next to Shimon. So yeah, they said, perfect. Reuven wants east of the Jordan River, we'll join Reuven too. Now, if you look in the pasuk, it says, "Mikne Rav, many livestock, hoyo livnei Reuven, ulivnei God atzom eid." And for the children of God, there was very, very mighty, many, many numbers. So the Kli Yakar asks, why doesn't it say that Reuven was atzom eid? It should say the pasuk should begin, "Umikne Rav hoyo livnei Reuven atzom eid, vilivnei God." Instead, it divides it. It says, Mikne Rav, there were many livestock for Bnei Reuven. Ulivnei God, and the children of God is Otzumayit. So the Kli Yakar says, the Bnei Reuven, the Reubenite tribe, had many, many livestock. However, what God had was might. And that's why Reuven couldn't do without God. Because God was ready to live on the border. He said, I'm now have no problem defending myself. God's sheep were mighty and God was mighty. And because God had military prowess, So this was why ultimately Reuven was able to even make this proposition. Now, interestingly, Ramban says, in this pasuk, in the beginning of chapter 32, it says, Mikne Rav, hayu levnei Reuven, ulevnei God. First we mention Reuven, and then we mention God. However, later on in the story, we always say, Bnei God ubnei Reuven. We always mention God first. How come the switch? So, the Ramban says that Reuven is Ben Leah, who is the Gevira. Leah was, so to speak, the eldest, and she was the mistress of Yaakov Avinu and the initial wife of Yaakov. And God comes from the maidservant that Yaakov married, from Zilpah. And because that was the case, Bnei God felt that it was the right of Bnei Reuven to step forward first. And therefore it was Bnei Reuven who came and spoke before Moshe Rabbeinu. However, ultimately, who had the might? Who had the power? Who was going to be able to pull this off? The answer is God, because God had the strength. So Reuven makes the initial proposition, but subsequently it's God who takes the leadership role. And the Baal Turim says the same thing. First goes Reuven, who is the Gadol, who is the elder of the tribes, and then comes Bnei God, who are the Gibeirim. So from that point onward, we always emphasize first the Bnei God. So they notice these different lands. We name a bunch of places. It's Yazir, and it's Gilad, and the Mokim is a Mokim Mikna. It's a Mokim Mikna. So like Unkula says, it's a place that's suitable for being able to raise cattle. So they noticed all these things. And as a result, they decided, Vayavayu, Bnei God, Uvnei Reuven. Here from verse 2 already, you see, Bnei God takes the leadership. Bnei God and Bnei Reuven came, Vayimru El Moshe, and they said to Moshe, El Elazar HaKoyen, El Nasi Ha'ed Olimar. They addressed Moshe, they addressed the Kohen Gadol, Elazar, and they addressed the leadership of the congregation. And this is what they said. They said, Atores, V'divain, V'yazir, V'nimra, V'cheshbein, V'ela Ela, V'shvam, U'nevoy, U'voyen. They listed a whole slew of cities. And they said, these are the cities, Ha'aretz asher hikar Hashem lefnei Adas Yisrael. These are the cities that God has struck down before the congregation of Israel. And we note that Eretz Miknahi, that they are lands of pasture, favorable pasture. So the lands are lands of pasture. Ula avadecha Miknah, and your servants have lots of livestock. So they said this is a perfect match. There's lots of pasture. We have lots of livestock. If so, Vayemru, they said, Im matzonu chein beinecho, if only we have found favor in your eyes, Yitein es ha'aretz hazeis la'avadecho la'achuza, then give this land to your servants as an ancestral inheritance. Al ta'avirenu es ha'yarden, don't take us across the Jordan River. Here it says Vayoimru in Pasuk He, but it says already earlier Vayoimru. It says in Pasuk Beis, Vayoveyu b'nei God b'nei Reuven, Vayoimru. And it's the same conversation. They said to Moshe and to Elazar and the Nasi Eda. What did they say? Verse 3, a list of cities. Verse 4, the land that was struck down is a place of pasture, and we have lots of livestock. Verse 5, Vayoimru, and they said in Namatzanu. Well, they're talking. Nobody else has been talking in between. If they're Vayoimru in verse 2, and verse 5 is just a continuation, why does it have to say Vayoimru? And he asked, or they said again. So the Ibn Ezra says, because this was a long conversation, the Pasuk presents it in compact fashion, like as a few verses. But truth is, it wasn't just a few verses. This was a long discussion, a long presentation. The Arachayim says that they didn't make any requests in the beginning. In the beginning, they were talking about the circumstances. These are the circumstances. And they were bringing light to the situation. And after they described the circumstances, and they said, this is the situation, then they came and said, okay, now we have an ask. So initially, they didn't know where they were going. And they make this request. And they say, we want to live here, and the rest of the Jewish people can go across the Jordan River. Moshe Rabbeinu responds with extreme anger. By Yomer Moshe of Negod, Moshe says to the Bnei God of Meruvim, what? Ha'achechem yoveu la'melchama va'atem teshvu pay? Really? Your brothers will go to do battle and you're going to sit here and pasture your sheep? Where are you coming from? V'lama sanion is leiv b'nei Yisrael. Why would you turn the hearts of the Jewish people me'aved al ha'oretz from going into the land, going across, over, crossing over into the land? Asher nosan l'ham Hashem, which God has given them. Moshe says, koyos aves eichem. I've seen this movie before. I read this book. I know that this is 40 years ago. It's exactly what your ancestors did. V'sholchi eisem mikadosh barnea. When they sent them from Kadosh Barnea, lidus ha'oretz. Vayalo ad Nachal Eshkol, they went to Nachal Eshkol, v'yiru ha'oretz, they saw the land. Vayoniu es leiv bnei Yisrael, and then they turned the hearts of the Jewish people away, levilti v'y al ha'oretz, from not going into the land, asher nosan lohem Hashem. And guess what? Vayichar af Hashem. God's anger flared, he says, v'yemahu. Vayishav alemer, God swore, im yiru anashim o'ilim mitzayim b'resim shana v'maylo, aves ha'adom asher nishbati, His promise was that they will not see the land because they have rebelled against me, with one exception. Except for the two people who actually did listen to God. So why does it say again Hashem's anger flared? It says it twice. Ibsaji Gaon says, here he explains that Hashem's anger actually exacted a price from them. So Moshe Rabbeinu is very, very displeased. Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael. God's anger flared against Israel. Vayaniyim v'midbar b'yim shona. They were literally dragged to the desert for 40 years. Atoyim kol adorid ho'esa harob b'ini Hashem. Until that whole generation died away. And now Moshe says, v'hinei kamtim tachas avisechem, tarbus anoshim chatoyim. A new rotten civilization. That children now have risen up, didn't learn the lessons of the past. You're now going down the same road. You're bringing the same anger. What's going on over here? They now they'll be influenced by you. They will turn around. They're not going to follow through. And what's going to happen in the end? They'll be stuck in the desert again. How could you do something like this? So they get this tongue lashing from Moshe, and unfazed, they come in and say, "V'ikshu love," and say, "No, no, no." Vayemer gidus tzayin nivna lemiknenu pay. We will build corrals to keep our livestock here. Va'adam l'tapenu, we'll build cities for our children. And then va'anachnu necholetz chushim, we will be the pioneers. We will be the first to enter the land of Israel and conquer it. Lofnei bnei Yisrael, ad asher imhavi unam el mekayimam, until they come to their place. And then, only after everybody settled in the land of Israel, only then the Yoshav then will return to the Eved HaYarden. Then we'll return to these fortified cities that we built, and we'll live with the rest of our family. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, in that case, if you're going to do this, and he makes a very, very strong condition, then in that case, this is acceptable. So there's much to be said about this, right? But here's the biggest question. What exactly was their motivation? They didn't see the land of Israel. They didn't know that it's not going to be a land with this pasture. How did they know? Why stay here? Maybe it's nicer when you cross the street.
Didn't the spies give a breakdown?
Yeah, the spies gave a report 40 years earlier. These were children. They weren't even smart enough to understand what the spies were saying. All the older people had died already. Okay, so Abba Arbanel gives us this kind of a reasoning of the Shachal HaTeira. Now we're going to take a look at a fascinating commentary from the Tveres Yenison, from Yenison Eibishitz, and the Rebbe's explanation of it. Page Reish Zayin. Simen Yud Ches. So we have here a quote from Yenison Eibishitz. The Tveres Yenison says like this. Yesh Loseis Tam. We have to really provide some kind of reason. Lama davke l'shnei shvatim halalu haya miknerav. The reason the Torah gives us was because it had a large number of livestock. That's the reason that we're given. Okay. Why? Why did they have the large numbers of livestock? Why did anybody else? So the Teferes Yonason says, Hashvatim halalu, these tribes, chivivu es hamon, they really liked eating manna. Ulekach, and that's why, miknerav ha'yolehem, that's why they had lots of livestock. Ma'asher heviu mimitzayim, much more than they had brought out of Egypt. Why? They didn't meet. Everybody else ate up the sheep. They didn't eat the sheep. Why wouldn't they eat the sheep? They liked eating manna. So because they ate a lot of manna, they didn't eat the sheep. You don't eat the sheep. What do the sheep do? They procreate. They make more sheep. So the sheep increase. The flocks increase. So they had large flocks. Poshut. Masha enkin sha'ar ha'shvatim. However, the other tribes, they did differently. Shachatu ha'behemes, they slaughtered the animals. They enjoyed barbecues and roast beef. V'leichivivu was haman. They didn't love the man so much. You know, they ate it. There was no choice. You couldn't eat meat all the time, but it wasn't their favorite thing. And because lechivu was haman la'achla b'chol pam all the time, they like to have a lot of meat dinner along the side. So basically, what did the Teferes Yonason say? He said, why do they have more livestock than anybody else? Simple, because their diet allowed for it. Because they like to eat manna. Whereas everybody else slaughtered large numbers of the sheep. All right, that's what he says. So the Rebbe sets out to explain why the seemingly unrelated business of the diet that they ate, why that would affect them so much so that they would choose to settle on the other side of the Jordan River. Yesh leimar shehakesher bein hachiba sherochashu ha'shvatim elu leman, the connection between the shvatim and the fact that they love man, and the notion that they selected or chose to be on to be mityashev to settle be'evra yardin, einoi chitzoni bilvad. It is not just a superficial reason. There's something much more than just a technical reality. Because they liked man, they didn't need to meet. Because they didn't need to meet, they had lots of sheep. Everybody else didn't like the man so much. Didn't like the man, so you ate your animals. Ate your animals, well then they didn't increase like that. There's got to be some kind of deeper reasoning here. It's not just that they liked meat or didn't like meat. Liked man or didn't like man. So the Rebbe says, indeed there is. Because the fact that they loved or cherished the man, and as a result of that they ate less meat, and that's why they had bigger flocks, is a kesher mahusi. There is an intrinsic relationship between the diet, their like of manna, and the fact that they are now choosing to live on the other side of the Jordan River. Okay, what's unique about manna? What's special about it? Comes from heaven. Very good. Yichudu shel manna hu b'hiyosei lechem min hashamayim. It comes from heaven. Like the discussion in the Gemara, what bracha did they make on man? Hamaytzi lechem min hashamayim.
But everything comes from heaven.
Yeah. So what bracha do you make on bread? Hamaytzi lechem.
No,
thank you.
So he was serious and he was saying Hamaytzi lechem min hashamayim.
Yeah, that was the bracha.
That wasn't a joke.
That's not a joke. You think I was joking with you? that's serious. It's mazin shehu ruchni b'mahusay. It was food. It was sustenance, which was intrinsically spiritual. Which means it didn't have any of the toxins of the material reality. Because all material food we eat is filled with toxins, we have a process called digestion. We have to separate between the toxins and between the life-elixing part of the food. And then our body has a very sophisticated system at a certain point, takes all of the toxins, all the extraneous material, which just delivers the payload of vitamins and nutrients. And what does it do with the payload? It pushes it out of the body, hopefully. Otherwise, you're in really big trouble. The toxins stay inside you, it's not funny. Right? That's big tzaras. So that's what we call earthly or material food, because everything in this world is filled with good and bad. But the manna was spiritual, was perfect. That's why they didn't have to go to the washroom when they ate manna. It just melted into their bodies. Their digestive systems were on vacation. They had no work to do. V'lachein einoy migashem es eichelav, kim mazen ragel. It doesn't bring the person who eats it down in the same way. You see, the person who eats manna doesn't get affected in a negative way by the food. when you eat material food, material sustenance, it makes you more earthy, because this food comes from the ground, and because the food comes from the ground and you consume it, it makes you more earthy, it makes you more material minded. V'lachein, because they were never brought down, so to speak. V'lachein chivavu b'nei God b'nei Reuven. The b'nei God b'nei Reuven, they cherished them on especially. Ma'achar sheshi afosam hoysoli yos chayim ruchnim. Oh, now we hear it's not just about the diet. Do you know why they had this diet? Do you know why they favored that diet? Because what was their driving force?
Spirituality.
They're looking for spirituality. And because they look for spirituality, minuktokim mikol ha'efsher mechumriyusa, they sought to be disconnected as much as possible from the material reality, from gasusa, from the coarse, crass nature of ha'olam hagashmi, of the material world. This is the reason that Bnei God Bnei Reuven favored settling on the east side of the river. The Lasek, what would they do on the other side of the river? They didn't say it was fertile land. They said it was pasture. They were going to raise sheep. Mishum shemalacha, this work, malacha zoi, ein ba tirdis rabis, doesn't have a lot of difficulties. It's you don't have to toil. You don't have to sweat. It says, b'zeyas apecha techalechem, but a sweat of your brow, you take it. A farmer is a hard job. You have to really get involved in the farming. But the shepherd is a different kind of job. It's like, you're not so involved. This job is mafsheres la'iskimba, to those who do it, to those who choose this profession, lavet es habayra, they could serve God, mitech dvekos tmidis, always be connected to Hashem. Because what's your job? You know, mashgiach on the sheep, just like supervising. You don't have to get involved too much. The sheep eat by themselves. You just take them to the next place. And as such, it allows for a tremendous volume of spiritual pursuit during the course of the day. L'loy isuk miyuta, without any kind of excessive involvement of inyone elam hazeh. And this is also why, for example, the avos, what did they choose to do for the most part? They were shepherds. Except Yitzchak had a stint in farming, but otherwise they were shepherds. What did the Shevatim do, with the exception of Yosef? Shepherds. Why? It's the most natural place for a spiritual-minded person to be. You don't have to deal with people. You don't have to deal with the negativity around you. There's no politics with the sheep. There's no materialism. The sheep eat. You have time to meditate and contemplate and study and pray and do all those other kind of things. So Bnei God and Bnei Reuven were spiritual seekers. Because they were spiritual seekers, they favored eating food which was spiritual in nature. Because they favored eating food which is spiritual in nature, now they have lots of flocks. They said, great, now they have lots of flocks. What are we going to occupy our time with? Shepherding. Are we going to be spiritually minded? And somebody else will work the land, because Eretz Yisrael is a land of agriculture. It's a land you have to work. It's a faith-based agriculture, because there's no natural irrigation. You don't look down. Instead, you're always looking up. It says, Eretz Yisrael is lemtara shemayim tishta. It's always waiting for rain. You're always looking towards Hashem. But nonetheless, it's a material pursuit. It's a farming. It's difficult. And so we prefer to be more spiritual minded. So it comes out the way the Rebbe explains this to Feres Yenison. It's not just an arbitrary effect of a diet. This is all part of the same perspective on life. It's a rejecting and a shunning of excessive materiality, and it's a focus on a heightened form of spirituality. Is that a good thing? Not necessarily. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I heard this before. The Meraglim wanted to do the same thing. They wanted to eat manna and stay in the desert. To which they responded, we're not doing what the Meraglim did. We are ready to participate. We will conquer the land. It's just for ourselves. We favor a more spiritual life. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, all right. Some people can choose a spiritual life as long as they don't bring down the hearts of those who are involved in the material building of the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael. And that's all she wrote for today.
So can we assume